James 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Lord, thank you for your word and thank you very much for your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that for all of us, your Spirit would please apply your word to our hearts and do all that is in your heart to achieve in us, Lord. And that as you achieve those things in us, Lord, you would work through us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. So just before the verse 19, which was where the reading started today, I'll read verse 18 to you. It says, "He, that is God, chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." One of our elders went on a bushwalk through Mount Kosciuszko and he wanted to share some of the things that he saw. So he took photos of native flowers and emailed it to all the people in the church. And I was just scrolling through these beautiful flowers and my friend Ruben, who was taking the photos, I'm sure he was just looking at these flowers and saying, "Wow, God, aren't you amazing? Look what you've done." But the Bible says that the most amazing thing that God does, the most beautiful of his creation, is his people. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So in the Old Testament, the first and the best of the crops would be brought and presented to God. And the people would come together for their feasts and they bring their first fruits. "God, here is the first and best of what I've produced and I'm giving it to you." And this is how God sees his people, that we are the first and best of his creation, that God presents us to the world and says, "Look what I can do." And I'm so grateful that when I look back at my life before I was a Christian and some of the ways that God has graciously been at work at me, I think, "Wow, God, thank you." And I look at myself today and I think, "Wow, God, you've still got a lot to do." And I gave my wife a bunch of flowers for the second time since I've known her for our 23rd anniversary this month, which I was only reminded of because my parents' anniversary is the day after. And so they remember their anniversary and they text and say, "Happy anniversary." And then I say, "Oh, yeah." Scooted down to Woolies, grabbed a bunch of flowers and tried to be a trophy husband. Anyway, in these bunch of flowers, there were some unopened flowers. They were still, you call them buds. And anyway, a couple of mornings later, one of them just opened up. And it was quite breathtaking, this beautiful flower. And that's a picture of what I think God is wanting to do with us as Christians. We are a beautiful We're a beautiful picture of grace when we come to Christ. And as we walk with Christ, there is an opening up of more beauty as we cooperate with God in our growth in Christ. And these verses that were read for us this morning from James, I think, show us three ways we can cooperate with God that we can continue to open up and show the beauty of the grace of God in our lives. Because we all know, I think, as I look at my own life especially, that we don't always display the beauty of Jesus. And in fact, people can be Christians for a long time and don't seem to change and grow very much at all. And so God is at work in us, but we can be at work with God to this end. And so here's three ways. First way, we can pay attention, pay careful attention. Listen, I'll just read to you the first couple of verses again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. So already James is saying, listen, pay attention. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So just in your own mind, a score out of five for each of those. You can give yourself physically, you don't have to show anybody, just put your hand under your armpit, or you can just picture it in your own mind. A score out of five, zero being not at all. I don't even rate. I'm hopeless at this. Five being, I think I score quite highly on this. Ready? So out of five, quick to listen. How quick are you to listen out of five? Slow to speak out of five. And slow to become angry out of five. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Here again, God's desire is that we produce righteousness, that we show forth the beauty of Jesus in our lives. How is being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, how does that produce the beauty of Jesus in our lives? Well, it displays love. So the paying attention, the first thing that James is telling us to pay attention to, I think, is people. Pay attention to people. Think about the good listeners in your life. People who you know listen well. They're quick to listen and they're slow to speak and they're slow to become angry. Think about those people. I reckon it'd be a safe bet to say that when you're with those people, you feel important. You feel valued. You believe, it's easy to believe that you matter when you're with those people. Well, James is saying, let everyone be like that. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Well, I'm just not a good listener. It's just who I am. Okay? God wants to change that because he wants everyone to know they are loved and he wants to express his love through all of his people. And one way we can do that is that when we are listening, when we're in conversation, we really are listening. We are valuing the other person. Listen in your family life. Listen to others in your work life. Listen to others in your social life. Listen, quick to listen. The other thing that James is telling us to pay attention to here is the Word of God. Now, I'm confident that Area Park Baptist Church are a Bible church. We are, if we want people to know one thing about us, it's that we pay attention to the Word. But there's paying attention to the Word and there's paying attention to the Word. Don't you reckon? There's knowing the Bible and it's being known by God through the Bible. There's an examination of ourselves that happens if we are humble when we listen to or read God's word. This is what James says. humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently, there's that paying attention. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. My son Caleb, when he was in primary school, we lived just up from the school, and if we wanted to give him a message or bring something to him, we'd just have to walk down the hill and go into the playground and look for him. And he was easy to find because he loved Nutella sandwiches. And so if he'd already eaten his lunch at recess, which he probably had done, then he's eaten his Nutella sandwich and the Nutella would still be smiling on his face. And he wouldn't really care. Now he's 20. I'm sure if I held a mirror up to his face and he still had Nutella smile, he probably would care because he's more grown up now and he doesn't want to go around with a Nutella smile on his face and he'd quickly deal with it. And when we grow up as Christians, the Lord would have us look into his word in such a way that we don't avoid it helping us to change. We welcome it helping us to change. We look intently and we invite the Spirit of God to look intently into our hearts so that we can change. You might remember the teacher of the law, the expert in the law that came up to Jesus and said, which are the most important commandments in the law? And Jesus told him, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And it says that the teacher in the law wanted to justify himself. So he said, and who is my neighbor? It's a scary thing that you can be an expert in the Bible and yet be resistant to the change that God wants to bring to you through the Bible. Let's not be those who seek to justify ourselves, but those who humbly accept the word as we pay attention to it. So that's the first. Oh, that's right. It's three A's that are my points this morning. So the first one is attention, paying attention to people, paying attention to the word of God, as God pays attention to our hearts through his word by his spirit. Second A is action. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch your life and doctrine closely. And again, in our evangelical churches, I think we're probably quite good at watching our doctrine. But how about watching our lives? How do we do that? I think one of the ways we watch our lives is that we are willing to speak the truth to one another as we observe each other in life. How do you go if someone observes something about your life to you? That's an interesting question, isn't it? What kind of actions is James talking about when he says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves? Do what it says. One of the things that the Bible calls us to action in, not as a maybe you could do this, but as a this is what you must do, this is my commandment to you, is described by James in verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And so living lives of love, particularly love in action on behalf of those who are suffering and vulnerable. So it is the Christians who, as we grow in the beauty of Christ, have our antennas up around us for those who need help, those who need protection, those who need others to speak up, those who need others to come in and act on their behalf. Love in action is a beautiful thing that God wants to produce in his church. So attention, action, and the last one is abstinence. I noticed as I came in, I'm not very observant, so this is a good sermon for me, paying attention. But the sign as I came into town, wowsers, bowsers, and peppercorn trees. I noticed you got the peppercorn tree at the front here. I remember Tim Costello, people have called him a wowser because of his action against gambling, because gambling is so destructive to vulnerable people. But he was the first one to point out to me that the word wowser means we only want social evils remedied. That's what the word wowser means. But wowser has come to mean, well, you just say no to things that the rest of us find fun. Do you think? So, for example, when I, coming from a Baptist church, went down to Victoria for my first job and I stayed with the pastor of an independent church in his house, and they were became my kind of parents away from home, the pastor of the church and his wife. And anyway, my first night there, I walked in and they're playing cards. And they kind of looked up at me with this awkwardness and said, are you allowed to play cards? Because you're a Baptist. So their impression of me as a Baptist was that they don't really understand it, but there's certain things that we abstain from. So drinking, dancing, and playing cards, I think at one stage was the three big no-nos. It's kind of before my time. So I was able to explain to them that wasn't really the culture that I came from. But nonetheless, every generation of God's people needs to be very clear, at least working out, what is it in our culture that God is saying to us, say no to this? We can't just say yes to everything. People won't always understand us saying no to certain things. But we need to, in order to please God and produce his righteousness, there will be things that we'll say no to. And church to church, congregation to congregation, we won't always agree on what those things are. But it is something we need to be working on. So James has given us three things, I think, that are really helpful in terms of saying no to. So, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So here's one area of abstinence for God's people. Abstain from harmful, angry words. If you're angry, you've got to pull a tight rein on that tongue. Don't let that tongue do the damage that it might do because you're angry. I've got a dear friend who grew up in a Christian home whose father abstained from certain things that Christians say you shouldn't abstain from. But I'll tell you one thing he didn't abstain from. He didn't abstain from angry words and actions, and he damaged his kids. James says no. The righteousness that God wants to produce through us includes keeping a tight rein in your tongue. Don't be quick to anger. Just another word upon this verse 19. Everyone shall be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Do you know there are people in our lives that if we're to speak the truth in love to them, it will produce an angry reaction? Most of us know people like that. And I can think immediately of people that I think, there are some glaring things that I'd love to say to this person that might help them, but I know if I say them, they're either going to retreat into themselves and not speak to me, or they're going to get all defensive and react. And then I thought about myself, and I think about times when my wife might like to say something to me. I mean, the husbands and wives can be of such help to each other because we see each other in the truest light, really, apart from the Lord himself. And there needs to be the ability to speak the truth in love in a marriage, of course. And I think the times when my wife has said something quite gently to me to point out something that could help me to grow, I notice my reaction, self-defense, sometimes anger. And I think, well, I'm not helping myself to produce that righteousness of Jesus, am I? So I need to work on that. Not be, so be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. The second thing that he talks about abstaining from is verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. So two things, moral filth and evil. The moral filth in other parts of the Bible is translated dirty. So if you go to chapter 2 of James, it talks about someone who comes into church with dirty clothes. And James is saying, don't discriminate against people with dirty clothes. In this instance, he's saying, you must discriminate against dirty things in your life. So, dirty thoughts, dirty conversations, dirty pictures, dirty jokes. We all know what that means, dirty things. And the Lord says, you must abstain from those things to produce the righteousness that I desire of you. Dirty things are more accessible now. I think to myself, wow. It was tricky growing up as a teenage boy in the whatever era it was, the 80s. I think about my sons growing up and the temptations that they face with dirty things so accessible to them. We as God's people need to be very on the ball with this, to abstain from dirty things. And the evil that is so prevalent, that this word evil is translated in other parts of the Bible as malice. And malice is the things that come out of you, the thoughts that go in your head, the words that come out of your mouth, the feelings of your heart when you are against someone. We need to control that. We need to rein that in. We need to abstain from letting our thoughts run away against other people. They may even be legitimate hurt there. The people have hurt us, said wrong things against us. But the Lord says, I want you to be the one that abstains from letting your emotions dictate what your thoughts, your actions, and your words will be about and to that person or those people. Abstain from those things. Backstabbing, putting down, paying back, bitterness and resentment will hinder and choke the beauty of Christ. And those flowers won't open up and show Christ to others. So, we are God's treasured people. We are his first fruits, the first and best of his creation, and he loves us. We don't have to be afraid of him paying attention to the things in us that need to change. Because he loves us, because he has forgiven us in Christ, we can welcome the work that he wants to do in us to make us more like his son. Amen? Let's pray. So, Lord, thank you very much for your word. And please may your spirit persevere with us and help us to be humble. And, Lord, I pray that your people in Area Park would continue to open up and show forth the beauty of Jesus to this community. And for your people across the Riverina, Lord, that we would be churches that are producing the righteousness that you desire. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.